Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
John Moxley just made his New Japan debut, and oh my god, spoilers, so if you want to watch the full show and see what happened for yourself, probably go and watch something else right now. We tried to keep it as vague in the title and thumbnail as possible, but my god, Jon Moxley, in his first match outside of WWE, just became the IWGP United States Champion in New Japan by beating Juice Robinson.
His first sanctioned match outside of WWE, and he's won a title in, arguably, one of the biggest promotions in the world.
Yeah, well, not arguably. It is the second biggest promotion in the world after WWE in terms of revenue. New Japan, of course, are huge in Japan. They were huge globally, but then a lot of their Western stars, which make up the Bullet Club's elite faction, went on to found their own wrestling promotion. But yes, this is our first look after Mox's debut at Double or Nothing just 2 weeks ago. Not even 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, where he interfered at the end of the main event between Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega and beat them all up and made his shocking debut there. Now, just 10 days after that, we see him how he's reinvented himself in the ring, his entrance, all those bits. And it's very different.
Yeah.
But also the same.
But also, yeah, familiar but different. Mm. Housemate Simon, because we all watched this live together, which was quite nice. Housemate Simon thought that it was not different enough. He felt that Moxley was very much still just Dean Ambrose. His argument was like, well, when Jericho left, he completely changed himself up. But I would argue that, you know, he's ditched the jeans. He's ditched the wife beater. He has ditched, I'd say, a lot of sort of like the Dean Ambrose-isms while wrestling in ring. This does feel different while still feeling familiar.
I think it's important to remember that when Dean Ambrose was waiting to return from injury in August 2018, he obviously came up with his character. This is my new serious character that I'm going to try and do in WWE. I'm going to shave my hair. I'm going to look like I just got out of prison and I'm on day release. So different from wacky lunatic fringe Dean.
The guy with the potted plant.
Yeah, with the literal fringe. Mitch, good reference. And he, that is WWE Dean to me. And then what he was doing in WWE in the last part of his run was this super serious character that he wanted to get through, but it was creatively stifled. So yeah, this Dean, this Jon Moxley, isn't too dissimilar to that last Dean Ambrose we got in WWE. But it's drastically different from Lunatic Fringe Dean. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a big positive. Yeah, you mentioned the tights. He is just wearing simple black trunks, black knee pads, and black boxing shoes.
Feels like a big Austin move.
Yeah.
Like, Austin's whole deal was like, I can get myself over just wearing black trunks and knee pads. Like, I don't need the big flashy gear and everything like that. So Moxley, going out on his own, is like, I don't need big flashy doodahs. I just need a pair of black trunks, a little bit of barbed wire trim around mm-hmm. them because, you know, it's 1997 still. And I'm going to get tattooed around my arm as well while I'm at it. And some shooter shoes. And that's it. That's all he's going to wrestle in. And it's a really cool look for him. But it was, while watching the match, there was a couple of moments where all, like, amongst the sort of 5-6 of us watching, we're like, it is weird seeing him in trunks, though, isn't it? It's something we've just got to get used to.
Yeah, I think we'll get used to it very quickly. Mm-hmm. Like the Kabuki Warriors. We all love that name now.
Yeah.
But it's seeing him in the ring, not only has he changed up his look, but he's also very much changed up his style. He feels so alive again. That just when he made his entrance, he had so much charisma,
so much
magnetism. Yeah, he was sort of just like doing this, and it was so engaging to watch, and he had that real star presence. And when he was in the ring, this was, I'm trying to think, probably the best Dean Ambrose, John Moxley singles match I've ever seen. You know, but I didn't watch any of the pre-WWE stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there were any sort of WWE matches that he had that were just like, oh my God, that was absolutely amazing. Because that's the one that Ambrose was always a character that everyone really liked, but he was never put into those sort of five-star match situations. I'm sure he had, you know, I think he had some good stuff with AJ Styles when the brand splits LOL first happens for the second
with the
time.
James Ellsworth
with the James Ellsworth
yeah,
story
super serious
line.
Stuff.
Well, no, but I think like the TLC match that he had with AJ Styles was really good.
I never thought it was spectacular. When I think of Dean Ambrose's run in WWE, it's the tag matches with Seth
and the Shield,
and it's the Shield.
The Shield matches were like the, you know, the sort of tippity top, I suppose. So yeah, you're absolutely right, actually, in the sort of single sense of the word. Mm. I mean, I would say this is the best Dean Ambrose match I've seen in a year plus.
Definitely.
2 years, maybe. Certainly singles-wise. I thought it was a really, really terrific match as well. And credit to Juice Robinson. Oh. Like, I know we're talking a lot about Moxley here because he's the sort of big talking point at the moment. He's a guy that's a top star, has left WWE, has gone to New Japan a month after leaving WWE. Like, this is not long after he left. You know, he left and was at Double or Nothing, like, you know, 2 weeks later.
It's great, isn't it? Because when this used to happen, we have to wait 90 days before they can turn up in the Impact Zone. But now when you let your contract properly expire, boom, you're right in.
So it's been, his contract expired at the end of April, so let's say May. So here we are now, start of June. It's been, you know, 5 weeks. He's already been at Double or Nothing and made a massive impact there. He's been featured in Being the Elite. And he's been announced for a couple of matches for AEW already. And now here he is, winning the IWGP United States Championship in his first match outside of WWE. And it's an interesting choice for Gedo to put the belt onto him as well. A, it's going to draw a lot of mainstream attention.
Definitely.
From sort of the, you know, WWE fans who are like, oh, I'm quite curious to see what Ambrose is going to do outside of WWE and like see what this Moxley thing is all about. But it also, if he is going to do more stuff with New Japan, I think it was Housemate Simon might have said it, or it might have been you, I can't remember who it was, said he'd be a really good fit for the Bullet Club.
It was me.
It was.
Because there was a spot in the match where he's going to pulmonize Juice Robinson's leg in a chair. He gets up to the top, the second turnbuckle, so he's going to do a huge dive down onto it. Thankfully, Juice gets up and just lobs the chair at his head, which was really fun. But before he did that, Moxley, sort of did a point down at him. It wasn't the Bullet Club point.
No, he did like the Kenny Omega.
Yeah, but he did that when he came out as well. Definitely not a Bullet Club reference. But yeah, what a way to rescue a somewhat floundering faction.
And that's the key to it. It's not like, I think that when a lot of people leave WWE, everyone goes like, oh, they should join the Bullet Club, So I'm not kind of jumping on it from that aspect of it, but certainly to your point there, they are a group that needs something because they lost all of the people that had made that group really like explode over the last couple of years. I'm talking like your Bucks, Cody, Paige, even sort of Marty and things like that.
Omega.
Is it? Yeah, another one. Like, so they've lost like all of their big names. Now it's just, what's the Gorillas of Destiny and Bad Luck Fale? Mm. Like, you know, Taiji Ishimori. Like, they haven't got like a huge star in their midst.
Yeah.
Apart from Jay White, I suppose. And
just to run through the lineage of the US title so far, of course, this was only introduced as a belt just under 2 years ago. When Kenny Omega won it in that first G1 special, then Jay White won it, then Juice Robinson won it in July last year, Cody beat him in September, and then Juice Robinson won it back in January to sort of write Cody out to go to All Elite Wrestling. And now John Moxley in June after Juice's about 5 month reign there.
Mm.
So yeah, this is all non-Japanese people. I guess that's the idea behind the US title, even though at least one of those is Canadian, I suppose, if you count those.
Well, Jay
White's
from New Zealand.
Yes, good point. So it's the United States belt, but really, I mean, we always joke about WWE being a little bit racist. Oh, yeah, you're the European champion, all you people from outside of the United States. Yeah. And now we've got a bit of a similar tandem over in New Japan.
All you white folk.
Yeah, yeah.
All the United States.
It's hard being a white man in Japan. But yeah, just to carry on with John Moxley here, it's a really refreshing style to him. And no more was that more evident. And I don't know if this was intentional. Maybe it was. That in the finish, when it came, after Juice Robinson had killed himself, like the guy throwing himself off the barrack, off the sort of entranceway, into the barricade, through tables. Moxley didn't take as much of the punishment as he did. Not that he got off unscathed, but this wasn't full death match, Moxley. For the finish...
Still got colour.
Yeah, but Robinson busted himself open.
I think Moxley had a bit of colour. He had a colour on his back.
Moxley hits the Dirty Deeds, which is called the Death Rider now. Hits the Dirty Deeds. Robinson kicks out. I was like, and we're all kind of like, oh, that's a shame that he hasn't changed his finishing move.
Because a lot of people don't like that move as it is anyway.
Yeah. And when he did it at AEW, they were definitely snap versions where it's just really quick into the mat. That's how he did it in WWE. But then to fully put Juice Robinson away, he did almost a glorious DDT elevated lift and then drove him down on his head. And we all sat back and were like, now that's what this move should be.
Yeah, there's so much. All of a sudden, just one little tiny tweak to it makes it feel like that's a really big move now. So whether or not that is a change, and that's how the finisher now looks, or whether it's just I've done it this big elevated way to make sure I'm finally putting this guy down because he's already kicked out of my finish once, on top of all the times he's killed himself during the match. It remains to be seen, I guess. Well, I suppose we'll find out at his next match, which will be in a couple of... Oh, it'll be the end of the month, won't it? For AEW at Fyter Fest, because he's facing Joey Janela.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll find out then. But, I mean, I kind of hope that it is. Because, as I said, I think the Dirty Deeds, Death Rider, whatever, you know, which I suppose we're calling it now, people don't really like it as a move. So I think that if you really want to sort of like say this is the new version of Moxley to debut a new finish, I think certainly would be a way to kind of put a full stop on that.
And the end structure of the match where, oh, this WWE move didn't work. Here's the super move. I think that's a nice way to tell it. So now we're in a position where Jon Moxley, who will be an AEW full-time talent come October when their weekly TV is reportedly going to start... He's got the US title in New Japan now. Chris Jericho, the guy who is fighting to become the inaugural AEW champion in August, at the end of August, and I would argue is the favourite for that belt, he's fighting for the heavyweight title against Okada at New Japan's big Dominion show this Sunday. That's like their huge SummerSlam, second biggest show of the year. So I know New Japan keeps saying, we don't have a deal with AEW, there's no working relationship. Japanese culture is very much based on respect. You don't do things for short-term deals. We have a long-lasting relationship with ROH, with CMLL, who are a rival to AAA, who is a partner promotion for AEW. There's multiple things stopping that relationship from happening. But I can't help but think that maybe not all the people in New Japan agree with that, and they do want to work with AEW, and they do want Omega to face Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom.
And one of the things that Harold Meege has always talked about since taking over New Japan is to not so much westernize the company, but kind of like westernize its standards and sort of like it's, as you say, because it's very traditional in the way that it runs its business. But he's like, well, and that's worked, and you've managed to conquer this country, but there's a whole other load of countries that we can do. I speak fluent English, so I can be a representative of this country across the world. And that's why they start doing more stuff in the US, coming into the UK for Royal Quest. So maybe that's something that Harold Meege can kind of like influence and be like, look, I think we should do deals with AEW. If it doesn't impact our work with ROH and it doesn't impact our work with CMLL, I don't see why we can't do these sorts of deals. Particularly because Kenny has been very open about he wants to do more stuff with New Japan.
Oh yeah, definitely.
He was someone who was very torn about leaving that promotion because he absolutely loves it. So I could certainly see, particularly from a Kenny Omega side of things, of wanting to do more work with New Japan.
Well, it was a really good match. Really go out your way to see it. We haven't watched that. We ran in here to record this, so we can't watch the Osprey Takagai finals right now.
Oh,
don't spoil it, Pete.
Okay, I won't spoil it. The chat's spoiling it because it has finished.
Yeah.
But I will not say.
Thank you very much, Pete.
speaking of which, we've got some super chats.
Yes,
in
we do. Yes.
Before we talk about the match.
We've got like less than 10. We've got a few of them haven't got any messages. So thank you to Josh H twice and
Thanks,
Super
Josh.
Crazy.
Thank you.
Tim Arndt as well.
Thank you, Tim Arndt.
We've got one from Raul Vella who says, Gracias, amigos.
Gracias back.
Gracias to you.
Flint Mech says Moxley should wear the IWGP US belt to All Out.
He should.
If he's still champ by that point, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That'll make that promotion feel even more legitimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michael Lacroix, French. New Japan is 10 times better than the WWE product.
I mean, after SmackDown yesterday. Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad you put a numerical figure on it as well to make sure that it's 10 times better.
Yes.
Not like infinitely better, but it's good to have a numerical figure. Interesting as well, to that point, sorry, going back to the he should wear it all out. Mm. If he's facing Kenny Omega, the inaugural IWGP United States Champion,
wow.
A little bit of story you can add into that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What if Jericho wins the IWGP Heavyweight Championship?
I mean, I can't see that happening.
Nor can I.
Just that. I don't know how you'd book yourself out of that.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.